man show here with Mike Davis, legendary head coach, Detroit Mercy Titans, man, the legend out of Alabama, doing big things, 5 in a row. Coach Davis, what's up, man?
Everything's great right now. You said the key word, 5 in a row.
Yes, that indeed.
Feels good. And make everything taste better, feel better. You know, our guys are really playing well right now.
And, Coach, talk about your team's resolve, Coach. Being 3-8, they could have tapped out and quit on you, but they stayed together and got the ship right again, winning at Green Bay there and winning against Fort Wayne and winning these games you've played. So tell us about what spurred this 5-game win streak you guys are on coming from 3-8 where you was at.
Well, our 3-8 had a lot to do with our schedule and lack of practice time. You know, this is a different year for every coach. And I've said this so many times that, you know, every AD around the country should be as patient can be with their coaching staffs. Because we wasn't supposed to play Michigan State. We were supposed to have been playing in the Kentucky Classic. And we had a positive test come up with one of our coaches. So we canceled that and picked up Michigan State. That alone was a different mindset, because you go all summer and you go for months knowing who you're going to play first. So our first game was supposed to be Richmond. So we end up playing Michigan State. And the day we played Michigan State, we picked up Notre Dame off on Sunday. So we played Friday, Sunday, and then we had Kent State scheduled for Tuesday. So the Friday, Saturday game wasn't supposed to have been in play. Our Tuesday game was supposed to have been a game we played after we got back from Kentucky. So we played 3 games in 5 days, which is really stressful, especially during these times, because the travel now is not like the travel before. I mean, these are no excuse. I'm just trying to explain to you where we were from a mindset standpoint. And if it's 80% mental, our mental was really worked on and really challenged throughout this time. We played 3 games in 5 days. We lose all 3. You know, our best player was struggling shooting the basketball because of the rush. And then mentally, he kind of went out of it. Then we go back and we play a couple of more games, but we end up winning 1 game in non-conference against Western Michigan. So now our first 2 home games in conference is against the best team in conference, in our conference. So we played okay, but we had added 2 players to that mix who hadn't really practiced with us to play in that game. And then our next game was supposed to be against IUPUI, and we ended up playing Oakland. So that meant that we played Oakland and didn't know we was playing Oakland, and Oakland had played in a game that had an official that had the virus in the game. And so our guys was all looking crazy and nervous. And so we played that game. We ended up losing both to Oakland and Wright State. So that's 4 games that we lost. And I know it seemed blink to most people, but we added another player to the Oakland game that hadn't practiced with us. Mm-hmm. So it was just totally different circumstances, and we never got enough practice times, and we changed our schedule to play games, which most teams around the country are doing. You got to change schedule, but some people can't handle things. You know, what bothers you, it may not bother me, you know? And so what makes you work hard may not make me work hard. Mm-hmm. And so after the Oakland game, I told our AD that we supposed to be going to play UIC, and UIC was coming off of quarantine the day before we played them. So they had been off 8-10 days without practicing, and I thought it would be unfair for us to go there and play them in that circumstance. Plus, we needed a break mentally. So we took a break mentally, and we end up a GA caught the virus and gave us longer time off of the court. So it gave us time to kind of freshen our minds and kind of clear everything. Because, you know, like I said before, if it's 80% mental, mm-hmm. then you got to work on the mental.
Oh, yes.
You know, and so even though we lacked the practice time that we needed, I thought that we needed the mental standpoint more than anything. So we took a pause first before somebody got the virus. Then I changed our practice time up. We play Friday, Saturday. We take Sundays off. Then Monday's just a review of what we're going to do for the week. Then we'll practice on Tuesday, and then we'll take Wednesday off. Then Thursday is to prepare for the game on Friday and Saturday. So we've given them a routine now.
Oh, yes.
You know, and so since all this madness is going on and all these tough times is going on, you know, plus you got, you know, people that you know are passing away from the virus that's really affecting, you know, everybody's mindset and mental, you know. And so I'm really focusing on our mindset and our mental right now more than anything. And I think that's really helped us in our, you know, I think we won 7 out of 8 games.
And coach, what's good, what's even so crazy about it is you played Oakland tough, because 3 of your losses in conference are to Oakland, and it was close games because it went either way. And just think, yeah, if their mental was all the way there, if their bodies was fully into it, you could have won those games, made those plays to win those games. Because think about it, you've only lost to them 3 times by close numbers, so you could have been even better than what you are right now, which is amazing to say. The Patriots has you laid out what you have dealt with all year long.
Yeah, and plus, when we played Oakland the first time, our guys didn't want to play because of the virus of the officials being in that game. And it was only 6 days later that we had to play in that game, and that's nerve-wracking. And as I see it now, I think UConn canceled 2 games because there was an official played in the game, referee game that they was in, I think. And so, you know, everybody's learning through this all. Like I told a guy this morning, you know, you have this time last year, you can walk outside, you can feel really comfortable about everything, but it has changed. You know, you got to keep your mask on, your mask, and it's a part of your wardrobe now. And it's a strange time, and it's the best time ever for athletes, and not just athletes, but for people to work on a mental part of life, because I mean, this is unbelievable tough. I'm quite sure you've had some down moments, and some friends and relatives that's been affected by it. And man, it's nerve-wracking to even see them when you hear they have it. It's nerve-wracking to hope they come through it.
Yes, I've had 2 friends to have it and 1 to die, you know. Yep. And he's 38 years old. I'm 33. So this thing, yeah, for me, a guy I known forever, 38 years old, gone to COVID. And somebody I knew very well had it. She's recovering from it, but she was in a bad place for a while on a vent. So she's getting through it, still had after effects. So yeah, coach, you're right. That mental strain and just trying to go by day and not go out and do something. Because like I told you all before we started, Atlanta's wide open. So I have to really be careful here because we're wide open. There's no virus in Atlanta, obviously, because we got clubs, bars, the Hawks having fans now, and the Falcons have fans. So it's like, you know, it's not taking the same way it is up your way in Detroit. Because Governor Whitmer is doing some things. Governor Kemp in Georgia, all about the money.
Our governor don't mess around. You know, I know a lot of people disagree with some of her rules, but it probably saved a lot of lives for sure. You know, my oldest son had it, and I can tell you the struggle that he went through, but I also can tell you the struggle that I went through. Couldn't get to him, couldn't be near him. We talked to the phone, we text, and it hit him pretty hard. It hit him pretty hard. And so, you know, I know the feeling that you have when you're a loved one is going through it. You know, I don't know how I feel to have it. I hadn't had it, and I pray I don't get it. But, you know, he said, Dad, it's rough. It's really, really rough. And then my youngest son, you know, his AAU coach, who was his mentor and kind of like he was a lawyer, big time guy. You know, he used to go to stay with him in the summertime when he went to Alabama. He passed away, you know, about a month ago with the virus. And to hear that news is like devastating.
Oh, yes.
Devastating. And then we've had a couple of coaches, you know, to pass away from it during the season. And so, you know, it makes you aware and makes you understand, do not take this virus for granted.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about Lou Hill, who passed away this weekend. Lou Hill, you know, as I have him on the show, and a great guy gone to COVID. Anthony Stewart, UT Martin, 2 great coaches in the black fraternity, gone. Yeah. Like just that fast due to this invisible germ that we can't seem to shake, and people seem not to think it's real. But when you see 2 men, like for me, and you know, in your business, that, you know, come on the show, have good conversations with them, and just cheer for them to see them gone, it's nerve wracking. Like, wow, this is how precious life is.
And for you to actually have them on your show and talk to them and have a conversation with them, that hit home for you. You know, it hit home for us from a coaching standpoint, from a fraternity standpoint, because we knew him. And one of my assistant coaches was really close to Lou. And Lou was going to come up and bring his little son up and work him out and train him and stuff. You know, we talked about that. And so, you know, it's definitely devastating. And what's devastating is not that they're gone, because we all going to go, but it's the loved ones you leave behind.
Oh, yes.
And the pain that they feel and have to endure through these tough times. They'll get over it, you know, but it's hard, man. It's devastating. It's devastating.
And, you know, I talked to Randy Peel, who's back at your old place with Johnny Jones, told me and he can't even look at that bench they sit on, because the last time they played was at Texas Southern, and that's where they played at. And he said he can't even look down at that bench anymore. Right? He don't want to go nowhere near it. And I get it. That PTSD is real when you somebody you care about and you saw them, and next day turn around, they're gone.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's I mean, it's undescribable, you know, when you lose someone from it. And a lot of times you can't even attend their funeral because of the protocol of the situation. So, you know, it's I understand Johnny's feeling. I do, because they beat Texas. I mean, Texas Southern beat them on the last second shot. And the assistant coach has sent me a clip of the last second shot of the game. And then you wake up the next day and he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough, real tough.
Yes, and Coach, you know, and I think this is a lesson for all of our listeners out here and players too, that life is precious. Enjoy today, because you can be gone tomorrow. You know, like I was telling somebody about yesterday, the 8th. Coach, I can remember 7 years ago, I was at the Hawks game covering the game, and I got a call that my grandmother had passed out, and it was – and she never was the same. She died eventually in March, but I came in February 8th because I got the phone call at the Hawks Grizzly game that she had fell out and it wasn't looking good, and she was gone. 6 weeks later, she was gone. So for me, it's like it hits home so much for me, because unfortunately, I'm the baby of my family, Coach. So I'm the baby. So a lot of people in my family are older. I was the menopause baby. I was supposed to be here. I'm the miracle baby, right? So everybody had to deal with the death and the surprise, because everybody's older than me. And to get that call in 2014, I can't forget that. When I go to the arena, when I play the Grizzlies, I'm like, oh, grandmama, that's when I got the call. I can't ever forget that. So I know how Johnny and Randy feel, because they don't forget that ever again. Yep, rest their lives.
That's so true. And you know, we just got to continue to pray and pray each other up and keep each other loved up and keep each other in our prayers.
Yes, indeed. Now, Coach, tell us about your two key players, man, Antoine and Bull, man. Those guys are playing heavy minutes, and I'm good to give them time to rest. But they are really doing the dang thing for you out there, Coach, and really balling out for you and bringing your team along in this ride you've been on so far.
Well, you know, Antoine has gotten so much stronger this year, because the first 2 years we played Thursday, Saturday, and he would always struggle on a Saturday because you could tell his body was so weak, you know, when what he weighs. And he's like 162 now, but he's playing back to back, and he's had stronger games on the second day, a lot of our games. So proud of his effort. You know, what I'm most proud of is that, you know, we've been talking about the mental part of it. You know, his first 7 games this year, he shot like 15% from the 3-point line. And so, you know, he's one of the better shooters, if not the best shooter in the country, I think. But the stats said something different. And now the last 8 games, he just won National Player of the Week this week. And he shot 62% from the 3-point line, you know, over 2 games, averaging 28 points a game. So it tells you the mental part of it. A lot of people couldn't overcome that. And it couldn't overcome a struggle. They struggled the whole year, especially when you hadn't played a lot of games to get it back. But he's made a great comeback from a mental standpoint, and he's showing on the court. You know, Bull, I think, is a special player for us. You know, Antoine had 30, he had 29, you know. And 20 had 26, Matt Johnson had 24. You know, we didn't get this kind of production out of our guys last year, the last 2 years. And We're fortunate to have some really good players that can step up anytime. And you know, we have one kid named Noah Waterman who hadn't really shown what he has, but he can really shoot the basketball. 6'11" shooter. And so we have a better team. We just got to continue to get better. And I'm so proud of our guys, you know, coming back mentally more than anything.
And you have a big series week with Dennis Gates and Cleveland State. They've got on a good roll here, top of the conference right now with Wright State right behind them, and you guys as well in Northern Kentucky. So y'all are top four right now. So tell us about Cleveland State and what the job Dennis is doing down there in Cleveland State after taking over from Coach Felton down there.
Well, Dennis, Dennis is one of those young coaches who I feel have a Power 5 job here soon, should have one. So proud of him and the way he's come in this league and instill work ethic. It's all about the work ethic. And the last year, he wasn't that talented, but he got everything out of him, and he made him work hard. It worked hard for him. This year, he has more talent than he had last year, but they working the same way they worked last year with the same energy and effort. So, you know, just excited for him and what he's done for that program.
Most definitely. And, you know, I feel like your guys are going to compete with them hard. I feel it's going to be a great series this weekend. I feel it's going to be a great series this weekend when you guys play these guys, man, because I know your guys are going to be ready for it. And also the guy, Matt, you said about Matt, come off the bench, but he plays a lot of minutes too for you guys, which is so great and important because some guys, when they don't start, they kind of suck. You know what I'm saying? So the fact he comes off your bench and gives you energy every night, man, he can score the ball for you, has to be feel good for you and your staff as well.
Well, it feels great, you know, with Matt. You know, I want him to win the Sixth Man of the Year award, and to win that, you can only start a certain amount of games. And so I think I have one more game that I can start him in, but he's really good, and that's a great award to get, the Sixth Man of the Year award, but you can't get it if you start him. So he's had some really good moments. He had 22 against Michigan State, and he's had 24 against Fort Wayne, and he's more than capable of making shots. And Antoine loved playing with him. You know, he called plays for him, for Matt to get shots. And anytime Matt is open, he see him open, he get the ball to him. So we have a good team. You know, even Derrick Rose Dwayne Rose has had some really good moments for us. He didn't play last game, but he had like four or five games in a row where he scored in double figures. And, you know, we have different people that's playing well for us every game.
And Coach, so I'm having a show this week, Isaac Brown at Wichita State and TJ Johnson at Texas State. Tell us about those two young coaches in the business who are interim head coaches right now, but hopefully their job they're doing, they'll get the full-time gig, Texas State and at Wichita State. Tell us about those two young brothers, with Isaac and TJ Johnson there.
Well, I know both of those guys, and both of them deserve the job, and I think both of them will get the job. I think they will definitely get the job. I watched Isaac's team play a couple of times on TV, and, you know, he's ready. He's been ready. You know, he sat beside a guy that was a great coach, and, you know, he's been around for a while. Both of them deserve it. Both of them, I think, will get it. And, you know, if they don't get that, they'll get something else. But they deserve the one that they are now. They deserve to be there, you know, because both are doing well. And hopefully they both can make a run in the tournament. And you know, it's good for us to have, you know, black head coaches. You know,
yes.
It really is. We lost two this year. You know, so far we lost two. And so with those two guys in the position they're in, I'm pulling like crazy for them. Every game I watch, I pull for those guys. And, you know, I know they will get the job.
And, Coach, this month I'm trying to get as many black coaches on the show as possible. I want to spotlight these you all because you all do a great job leading young men like myself and younger to be better husbands, fathers, and leaders in our community. So I want to use my show this month to promote black coaches and help people see the impact of a black head coach in college basketball, because diversity is key. If you want to be diverse, you need to hire outside of your norms. I hopefully using my show, it's a way so 80s can see these guys have great backgrounds and great stories, and it's more than basketball. It's about leadership and community and growing young men who most likely will be black on their teams to maybe be better men going forward after they get their degrees at the universities that they play ball at.
That's so true. And hopefully some of these high-recruited kids watch your program and go play for some of those black coaches.
Oh, yes, they do. And I'll make you a point, Coach, to, hey, that's why I have you all on, because Atlanta's a big tent. But beyond Atlanta, it goes nationally, too, with the affiliates I have, and globally now with YouTube and all the social media stuff. So the show is global now. So anybody can talk, see Mike Davis in Europe and Australia, know about you now, Coach, because I got listeners down there who now know about you, Coach. They're going to know about the legend Mike Davis now from Alabama, getting big things done in Detroit.
Bed, Alabama, 1960, September 15th. That's my birthday.
Yes, indeed. Well, Coach Davis, hey, I was going to chat with you, Coach. Thank you for your time today. Stay safe. Best of luck to you against Cleveland State this weekend. I'll be watching you guys and cheering for you as always, Coach.
I appreciate you having me on. I was looking forward to being on your show again. Thank you very much. And tell those guys I say hello when you interview them.
I sure will, Coach. I got you, man.
Okay.
Have Take a good one. Talk to you soon, Coach.
All right. Thank you.
All right.